In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to consider with me very, very shortly this morning this passage of Scripture, which was read from Luke's Gospel, the 18th chapter. It's about the rich young ruler. Doesn't it sound like this guy has everything going for him? He's rich, he's young, and he's in charge. He's the ruler. Probably all those things make it very hard for him to follow Jesus. But he comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to have eternal life, the eternal life that you offer as the Messiah?" You know, in Luke's Gospel, we see a contrast forming between those who follow Jesus, between the disciples of Jesus Christ, and those who will not follow him. The rich young ruler really represents the wealthy lay Jews, the wealthy lay leadership of the Jews. And we see in this rich young ruler a theme that is repeated often in the Gospel of Luke: wealth and generosity. Already when John the Baptist began his ministry preparing for the Messiah, he did not have very nice words to say to those who worshipped their wealth, who wouldn't give up anything that they had for others unless they could see a benefit for themselves. He called them a brood of vipers. People came to him and said, "Well, what should we do?" He said, "You brood of vipers. Well, if you have two tunics, you give one to a person who doesn't have any." Well, Jesus doesn't call people a brood of vipers, but he does have in Luke's Gospel, as the first of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor." And in the woes, you know how in Jesus' Beatitudes, the Beatitudes are followed by woes, "Woe to you." The very first of the woes is, "Woe to you rich." Well, what are we to do? You know, in that culture, wealth was considered an indication that you must be a pretty good man and that God is blessing you tremendously. So you must be pretty good. So the disciples, remember how they said at the end of this whole business with that rich young ruler, they said, "Well, then who can be saved? If the rich are going to be so hard-pressed when it comes to the kingdom, well, then who can be saved?" Well, Jesus didn't say, "Oh, no sweat." He did say it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. What he said is, you're right, it's impossible for men. It's impossible for us to be saved on our own. But what's impossible for us is possible with God. And God, by his power and Holy Spirit, saves us. But he doesn't save anybody without the Holy Spirit coming and doing a work in us. That's part of it. That's part and parcel of what it means to be saved, is to be made a new person, is to be redeemed from this body of flesh. I couldn't help but think of Barnabas. I wish Kyle were here this morning. He was one of our most recent chrismations in our church. I think the last one to be chrismated was Kyle. And he wanted to be chrismated with the name Barnabas. And he told me why. Barnabas is such a compassionate, loving, encouraging person. And he's the one who came to my mind when I was preparing for this sermon, was Barnabas. And why is that? It's because in Acts chapter 4, the end of the chapter, you find this account of how the Christians were selling everything they had. Everybody had everything in common. And if there was anyone who had a need, those who had lands sold them and brought the money and laid them at the apostles' feet. Remember that? And then right after that it says, and Barnabas, a Levite from Cyprus, came. He had a field. He sold it. And he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Right after that, we have the account of Ananias and Sapphira. They also sold their land. And they came and they brought some of the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing to handle money in the kingdom of God. It's a dangerous thing. Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead. First Ananias. Why? Because Paul says, well, is this what you're bringing from the sale of that land? Is this all of it? Well, yes, this is the whole thing right here. It's all for you, Paul, and the apostles. It's all yours. Well, why in the world was he struck dead? Because he lied. He wanted Paul to think really high of him. He wanted people to think that he was just like Barnabas, that he was a generous man, and that he came and he gave everything he had for the sake of the kingdom. And then his wife, Sapphira, came in a little later. This is a conspiracy. God does not handle conspiracies very well. They conspired together as husband and wife, said, don't tell anybody. We're going to keep some of it for ourselves. And so they did. Paul says to Sapphira, is this what you got from the sale of your land? Yes. Down she went. I'm telling you, when I read that, sometimes I get kind of scared. I mean, what in the world was going on there? Strange. It's a mystery. I'm not going to say. I don't know what happened, but she fell dead. What was the difference between Barnabas and Ananias and Sapphira? The text tells us. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. It's all about the Holy Spirit making us different people. Is there anything wrong? Is there anything wrong with selling your land and giving a tenth of it to the Lord? No, that's wonderful. That is wonderful to give one tenth. That's really what we're called to do. If they had done that, if Ananias and Sapphira said, you know, we sold our land, we're going to give a tenth of it for the apostles and their ministry. The Apostle Paul would have hugged them. I'm sure he would have. He said, thank you, folks. There's so much generosity going around here. That's wonderful. But they lied. Barnabas was a man who loved God and wanted to help other people. Ananias and Sapphira were people who loved themselves and wanted to use other people to pump them up and make them feel good. And they would lie to God and everybody to get what they wanted. Jesus told this rich young ruler to sell everything he had and give to the poor. A chapter later, in chapter 19 of Luke, we read of Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus, the little man? He said, Lord, I give half of my wealth to the poor, and if I've defrauded any, I give four times. Lord, I'll give half. Did Jesus say, I'm sorry, I've been asking for the whole business? Did he say that? Man, he said, today salvation has come into this house. It's not how much we give. Sometimes we're going to have to give everything. Why? Because wealth for this rich young ruler was his God. He said, I've obeyed all the commandments. He didn't obey the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This rich young ruler had his money as his God and his wealth, or his money and his status as ruler. He said, thank you, Lord. In essence, this is what he said, thank you, Lord, but I'm rich, I'm young, and I'm a ruler. And you can say what you want. You say you're Lord. I'm Lord of my own life, thank you. And I'll do with my wealth what I want. If I want to give just 10%, I'll do that, and you should be happy. When Jesus is Lord, we obey him with a heart of love and sacrifice. This passage is not meant to discourage us. It's meant to encourage us. The more you give, and we are to give generously, the more treasure we'll have in heaven. But don't lie. Don't make a big show of it. Give and give generously, and God will bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.